I'm messaged out.
Thanks, Jules. Well, welcome, everyone. Hope you've got some tissues with you today, because from the moment I stepped into the prayer room this morning, or actually even a little bit before, is the Holy Spirit's been working, and he'll be touching you here today. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. It's his desire that we should have life and life abundant. And we heard from Lyle Shelton last week that life is not just for heaven, but it's also for this period of time here on earth. And it was just a little bit of an eye-opener to me just in that regard, because often we can get bowed down a little bit by stuff and think, oh, well, we'll leave it up to God and that's it. But there is life, and Jesus promises it, that it is life abundant. And too often I see our beautiful church cowed down, not doing what it's supposed to be doing, because we're actually sitting around waiting in the waiting room of God, and we're not out living abundant life. And so I just put that to you today. I've got lots of things to talk about. Oh my goodness, it's been a while since I've been up here, but God never ever goes quiet on you too much. He does every now and again, all right, but most of the time he's with you in all and everything that we do. And hopefully today I can relate a couple of little stories over the last few weeks or months, some things that might help you out with your life, and we'll see how it goes. Firstly, Lord, I just ask that you come and clarify my thoughts, that they become your thoughts, Lord. That the word that we speak out here today will go out and, Father, bring about effective change in people's lives. Father, we don't want to just change them. We want to bring effective change to people's lives, Father, that we might come to know you, to understand you and to love you in an even greater way, Father. And that's our desire as we bring this message today, and we give you glory, Jesus. Amen. Firstly, Pastor Julie, thank you for the opportunity to be here. I'm glad you got back. It's lovely to have you back with us. It's always a gift when you're in the house with us. Also, to everyone else that comes into this house, I want to tell you, I just love this church. And I'm going to tell you a couple of little stories just quickly why I love this church, is that for those of you that got Julie's email on Friday morning, you saw that the door roster was for Steve and Ross. Right? Right, Steve and Ross. Now, some beautiful people in this room thought that it was Steve and Ross, and that because we were doing the coffee, that they would come and help us out and do the door for us while we did the coffee. Now, is that not the best gift that you could have? People that believe they have a gift, they've got a blessing to bring, and they want to help out. That's what this church is about. And it doesn't matter what happens, is that if you're a contributor, that you will find people want to come and support you, look after you, and help out. That's what this church is about. It's full of amazing, beautiful, wonderful people that do that. And it doesn't matter where you are in this place, there's always someone that is helping out and doing and contributing, and it's abundant life. And I'm just going to read this little bit of scripture just to confirm that. It's unity through humility, and it's in Philippians 2. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. And that was how I felt when I got that text. So thank you, Marion. And thank you so much for your humbleness when you offered that up to us. It was just lovely. Over the last few weeks, Maddie brought a message the other week or a word from here about the testing of our faith. Our faith is an amazing thing. We're all given a measure of faith. Romans 12:2 tells us that now we're all given a measure of faith. Some of us, that might be a little bit more than another. Some might only be just a little smidge, whatever it is. But along the way, it will be tested. Now, our salvation is secure, but our faith can be stripped away. And then that makes our salvation of none, because we're not living an abundant life in our salvation, bringing what we're supposed to be doing in carrying Christ with us out there. If you've been beat up and your faith's been knocked down and you're not standing up in who you are in Christ, then we're just filling up rooms. So, Maddie, we're going to take that a little bit further today. All right? So you can see my message up there, the words. To plough straight furrows, you need to lift your eyes. It comes, if any of you have ever been and seen a farm or seen farmers in action, and you look out across these great open paddocks and these beautiful furrows just go for miles, and you step back and you look and you think, how beautiful and straight are those furrows? Oh, sorry, Gordon, while I'm here today, I'm not as gracious as Pastor Julie, okay? I didn't print all the notes out. Sorry, mate. But when you start to look at those beautiful furrows, you think to yourself, how do they get them so straight? Well, if you're sitting there watching the dashboard of the tractor, you probably won't be going in a straight line, or maybe you will today with new technology. But if we go back to our age, Graham, then the technology was you sat up there in the cold and the rain. There was no air-conditioned cabs, things like that. And what you had to do is you had to lift your eyes and look to the furthest point and track to that to take a straight furrow. Now, today I'm not into, you know, tractors and furrows and things like that, but I do ride a mower around a bit. Okay, and I get a lot of time with God on the mower, all right, because the mower is one of those zero-turn ones, and if you actually just wiggle the handles a bit, they sort of go like this. In fact, the first time I ever put my wife on one, I said to my wife, Rosie, you'll love this. This is the best thing. You know, for years she'd tracked around on one of the little ones. I said, this is great. Anyway, she got on it, and the arms are going like this. But the good thing was I had it on turtle, you know, not on rabbit. And I could actually catch it, run fast enough to catch her and actually kick it off so that it slowed right down. Because otherwise she had each arm going. She thought she had to pedal it, you know, with her arms to make it go. And it was going down the paddock like this. I'm thinking, how am I going to just... And I'm thinking, just stop, you know. And I had to try and watch for when it went this way to go that way and run in and kick the thing off so that it stopped. And I thought, well, that's pretty interesting, isn't it? I don't think we'll get much moan with that. And she's never been on it ever again. Not once. But the thing is if I bring that back to the message, if I want to mow at home, we've got a fair few acres to mow. So if I want to mow the quickest, is I need to start in one corner of the paddock and go to the other side and try and mow it fairly straight. And in order to do that is you come from this side down near the dam, it's down, you go up over the rise and then over into the other gully. But in order to do that, if you start down at the dam, you have to actually pick a tree over the other side so you can mow back over to it. So you need your eyes up. You can't be looking... Otherwise, quickly, the mower can go like that real quick, and you can turn your life into a spiral down real quick. And quickly, our lives can be like that, all right? We can be out there doing what we're called to do, and we can get our eyes down and quickly spiral down into nothingness, just into the machine, going round and round in circles, and we're not achieving our straight furrows. And today, I ask you this question. Have you lifted your eyes to Jesus? Because when the pressure comes on, when the testing of our faith starts to pressure us, we will start to find ourselves either putting our eyes down or lifting our eyes up. We've got a choice, a definite choice. I'm going to put it a little bit to you today that I think most of us are like the rest of us, in that we get a little bit consumed and let our eyes drop instead of lifting them up to Jesus. And the only reason I say that is I'm going to relate a little story that's happened in my life just recently, is that like everyone in this place, my Christian disciplines are reasonably good. I do get up early of a morning. I spend time in the Word. We've got music, worship music playing all the time at home. I'm faithful in what I do. I'm faithful in being here in church. But I found myself in a position a little while back where I was starting to go, okay, where do I stand in this? What's going on? And for those that of you know, we have a son and a daughter. And our beautiful daughter had a tumour taken out of her knee about 18 months ago. And we were up there towards the beginning of February. She had to go in for a biopsy on another tumour that she has on her pancreas. And as a father, I think all of us as parents get to a point when it's your children, you start to go, well, what can I do? What can I do? And as a father, you think you want to fix it, all right? That's been your life. You've been looking after things. You've been going to fix things. But here I am now in a position I can do nothing. It's beyond my pay grade. It's out of my thing. And as most of us as parents, especially when it comes to our children, the first thing we would do, we would sacrifice our own lives instantly, like that. But you know what the good thing is we don't have to, because there is one who has gone before us, and his name is Jesus. He has set the ground rules for life and life victorious. He has gone out so that I can come to him when I'm feeling lost, doubting, fearful. I have the right to come to him. And he promises me that his peace he will give to me. His peace he will give to me. Not as the world gives, do I give. So let not your heart be troubled nor be afraid. And I'm going to go back to the Christian disciplines. Christian disciplines are something we do. All right? They're works, they're things. Jesus asks us along the way that it's no longer about your works, but about your faith in me. And I put this to you that while our Christian disciplines set up a great foundation for us, there is even further to go. And that is into the knowledge and love of Christ. Is that Jesus, in that period of time, I would find myself laying there at night and my heart was anguished. I would get these images coming into my mind about my beautiful daughter. And I would bring my Christian discipline into action. I would go bring every thought captive, dwell on these things. But I would find that they would still overwhelm me. And I think There's probably others of us in the room that the same kind of thing will happen to us, where we become overwhelmed and we think, what do we do? Well, you know, I would get out of bed then. I would get out and begin to pray, because that puts me on the front foot. All right, that doesn't leave me at the mercy of the spirit of this world, but it puts me back in a place, and we heard it this morning about the Spirit of God. It puts me back in a place where now Jesus comes close, puts me in his arms, and does for me what I can't do. He holds me there at that point. It will help me through. It allows the tears to come, to understand that it's no longer about what I'm going to do, but about what he's going to do in this situation. As I said to my daughter, I said, I'm sorry, hun, it's not something I can fix. I'll refer you back to the Maker, because that's what his role is. All right, he's promised me. He promised me years and years and years ago when the kids were little. He said, if you will release them into my hands, I will watch over them. Do I understand that? That's a bit like the... Can we have the other screen up there, Dennis? Just the daily screen. No, not those ones. No, just your normal daily screen about faith. That's just all the scriptures. If anyone wants to know where this message came from, they come out of all of those different ones. But if we've got just the normal day screen, that'll be great. We'll find it in a sec. But faith is when you don't understand necessarily what God's plan is, all right, but you still believe him for it. All right, and that will happen to us as we go. All right, is our faith will get tested. We build our Christian disciplines. We build those areas of our lives. And that's another reason I love this church, is that I come here and I hear testimony. I hear stories of victory, of overcoming. I get to fellowship and be close with others. It's something you don't get in the normal world. You know, is that there it is. Faith is trusting God even when you don't understand his plan. How good is that? Is to know, because how many times do you get in a position in your life where you've got no clue what's going on, why this is going to happen, all right? But God can. And it comes back to these couple of simple words. God, I can't, you can help. And it puts us in a different place then, from no longer just our works, our Christian disciplines, all of these things, but it's faith, the belief in the God who says he is. His promises. I just want to, if you would, if you've got your Bible with you and you've got a highlighter, just flick into John. That's a good name, isn't it, John? Hey? Isn't a good name? I love watching John up here in action. All right? It's a beautiful thing, watching John in action. Yeah, that's a good question, isn't it? It's going to be 24 when I can find it. All right. It's in there. I think John said that, didn't you, this morning, John? No, it's not John 24. I've got to go to my notes because there isn't one. Sorry, gang. But I'm going to flick you in there for a sec. I made the mistake of writing all my notes, but I wrote on the backs of the pages as well. And so what I've done is I've got all of these beautiful pages with all of these beautiful scriptures, but they all go. But anyway, it's the scripture where Jesus says to the disciples, "You'll hear of wars, rumors of wars," and Matthew. There we go, 24. All right, now we'll find it easy. All right, so Matthew 24. But what I want you to do, take your highlighter of you, all right? So Matthew 24 and 6, and he says this, "And you will hear of wars and rumor of wars." What's the next paragraph say? "See that you are not troubled." Highlight that. Don't panic. See that you are not troubled. Jesus has it in control. But how many of us read, we hear of rumors of wars and all that, and we focus on that? That's our focus. We can tell everyone. We actually become conformed to this world and start to tell everyone of the bad news. We're here to bring the good news. All right? Is that we will read that scripture and we'll think it's right to go out and tell everyone of all the concerns and worries. Jesus gives us that bit of scripture so that we're aware of it, but to be not troubled. He's got it in control. We're to be aware and to know it. But who looks after it? Jesus does. Is it up to my strength? No. I can have all my Christian disciplines. I can have everything in place. But I have to have my faith in Christ and who he says he is. He tells us so many times. Is it 14? Is it? No, it's 11 what? What did I write down 11? John 14, 1. No, we'll go to John 14, 1. All right? Yep. John 14, 1. Jesus says to us right at the beginning. Okay. 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. That's Jesus speaking. Let not your heart be troubled. How many of us have let our eyes drop? We've stopped looking up to Jesus. We've put our hearts down, our eyes down to the troubles that are all around us. And that's where our focus is. And Jesus is saying to us, don't be troubled. Let not your heart be afraid. Because he goes on a little bit further in that, in John. And if we go a little bit further, is that 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. What does he say here? Read this with me. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We need to keep picking our eyes up, looking to Jesus when we don't understand. Let the troubles flow away. Let's not have our churches bound up in the troubles, because that's being conformed to the world. We're asked to be transformed, not conformed, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. Reading these scriptures, but not missing the bit he puts in the protection for us. Not missing that bit, all right? Actually highlighting that bit. He's got it in control. That's what faith is, the substance of things unseen. When we don't understand, knowing that Jesus holds us in his hands and watches over us. How exciting is that? As we start to live our abundant life, understanding that, yes, there are troubles, there are concerns, all right? But don't worry about it. I've got it in control, all right? Be about bringing the good news. Don't have to worry. I've got it. I've got it. But will you go out and actually carry me into the community? Will your heart be so overflowing, no longer consumed by the troubles, but overflowing with the gift and the grace and the love of God that just cannot help but bubble out as you lift your eyes from the circumstances and the things around you into the precious gift that Jesus is just over there. And as you look up, Jesus doesn't just stand over there. Jesus comes, embraces you, holds you, does for you what you cannot do for yourself. I found myself in anguish for 3 nights over my daughter. Nothing I can do about it. Not one thing. All right? And Jesus came and just held me for 3 nights. How beautiful a gift is that? Guess what I can do out of that? out of my strength through Jesus who holds me in that period of time. I can then be the strength, you know, in that, in my daughter's life, in the home around me. But if I'm beat up and down there and can't sleep at night because the thoughts that I can't even keep captive. I know to do, but you can't do it, all right? You just can't do it. You want to. You think to yourself, I'm going to do this, but it doesn't happen, all right? And it's not till we get our eyes up, put them on Jesus, and let him come and do what he promises to do for each and every one of us. I'm just going to go to the last little bit. I wrote this. You can put lots of Christian discipline in place, but if you don't let Jesus do what he does, then you are only leaning on your own understanding. And I found myself a lot like that, leaning on my strength, on my own understanding, trying to figure things out instead of committing it to Christ. Better turn my pad up the right way, and we'll get to the... I did write a conclusion. Oh man, you guys think you got some message here this morning. Oh my goodness, I've had a lot. We need to look up. When our eyes drop, we get focused on our works, and in this regard, it can actually be good works that we're focused on, okay, that actually consume us and take us from what actually God wants us to do, all right? It's not hard to get caught up in even good works and forget, because we haven't got our eyes up looking to what Jesus is calling and bringing us into. When our efforts cease and we look up to the one who has finished it and rest in him, all right, then it comes to pass. I don't know whether you've ever done this, when you start to bargain with God. When our lives, you know, we become conformed, our thoughts have got us captive, and now we start to bargain with God, saying, well, Lord, I'll do this, I'll do that. That's not faith. That's not faith. That's us bargaining our effort for God. It's going, Lord, I can't. You can help. That's what we're to do. Jesus says to me, let's go to Matthew 11 and 28, because you should all know this one, and I'm going to encourage you, is to take your Bible and get your highlighter out and highlight all the promises and all the good that Jesus wants to have for you. He says in Matthew 11 and 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and he will give you rest. If you're laying in bed at night and your mind's screwed up and you've tried praying, you've read the word and you've got things going, try this where you come to Jesus. Try that. It's a whole new dimension. We heard about this spirit realm today. There's a different realm. Most of us are like, I guess we're all a lot alike, in that our lives have been about our effort, about what we do, about our disciplines, about what we're going to do. And it's been very hard, and particularly as blokes, I think we're a lot like this, is that we're going to fix it. We're going to make it work. It'll be right. I've got it in control. That's not right, is it, Sandra? Blokes don't do that, do they? but when that happens, there comes a point where we have to figure out, that I haven't got the answer to this. Where do you go after that? Where do you go? And that's where Jesus makes us this beautiful offer. Come to me, all ye who are heavy labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. How do we learn from Jesus? We get with him. We spend time with him. We cuddle up to him. We appreciate him. We know him. We're like Andrew and I, we sit and drink coffee a little bit through the week, right? I get to know about Andrew because we're spending time together. We're talking. We're, you know, animated. We're doing things together. That's how we're to be with Jesus, animated with him, speaking with him. But if you do all the talking, he only knows about you. Well, Jesus already knows that, so sometimes you just got to be quiet, let him do the talking. Okay? That's just a hint. Okay? Is that? But Andrew's got a beautiful wife, Kim. Now, I know of Kim through what Andrew and I speak about, but I don't know Kim because I'm not sitting in her presence close to her. But with Andrew, it's different. I'm in his presence. I'm close. We're in animated conversation. We get to know. That's our lives with Jesus, to get to know him, to be with him, to let him do what he does. For my yoke is, and my burden is. So if we're feeling a bit beat up today, if we've got a few concerns, a few worries, a bit going on, what do you think my message might be today? Keep your eyes up to Jesus, all right? Put them to him. Even when I walked in here to Dennis this morning, we just had a quick conversation here this morning. Dennis, we were talking about, I put some new wharf piles in this week to, because our poor old wharf keeps getting a bit knocked around. But initially, we bought about 20 new poles to put in. So what we've been doing over time as we repair the wharf, we've been using the little light ones first so that, you know, they were easy to look at, easier to work with. So the only problem is all we've got left is big ones. And these poles are, you know, this round, and they weigh tons, you know. So we've got to actually have machines to lift them and things like that. But anyway, I was just telling Dennis, he said, oh, how did they take the old piers away for the Batemans Bay Bridge? I said, oh, it was a real easy thing. And Dennis said, I suppose I should have lifted my eyes up to see what they were doing. And how often is our life like that, where our eyes get dragged down onto something else and we miss what's going on around us? So I encourage you today. That's my message for you today. Plough straight furrows, lift your eyes. Get them off what's in front of you. Put them out to Jesus and keep on the straight line with him. Okay? So I leave that with you today. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Isn't it amazing out of our trials and worries and concerns that you can still bring a message, because God makes messages out of our messes and out of things, doesn't he? So thank you for sharing that, and we'll continue to pray for Angie and for you and Rosie. And I know others have been through the same thing, you know. Troubles come, don't they? But that's a really good encouragement to us today to keep our eyes focused on him, build our faith up. And God, it's over to God, isn't it? That's it. Amen. Well, we're going to finish now with some songs, and one of them actually is to turn our eyes to Jesus. I think it's the second one after this. Amazing. And then, Steve, if you...